Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Ready to go.
How many cups of coffee have you had today? All of them?
Not yet. I've had two of them.
That's good. Two's good.
And I will be crazy.
We got to have our balance and everything. We need to have our balance. Books. We need to have our minds balanced and everything else. In a busy Tuesday, it looked as I don't even know where to start. We've got you in the paper talking about Township Fire Department requests. They'll get further discussions today, reports the Herald Times. Also, the county commissioners, looks like they've gotten together looking for redemption and some book balancing costs. We'll start, it's our tax money, so we'll start with the money part of that. What does the county hope to recoup?
Well, as you recall, that we had to hire some experts to try to get our books balanced, and it cost us about $150,000 to do that.
Did they do that?
I beg your pardon?
Did they do that?
Did they get the books balanced?
That was done.
I'm asking, was the ultimate result what you guys were asking for? Did the books get balanced?
Well, one would like to know whether or not they're balanced now. But they did go through and they pointed out some reasons for some errors and poor communication, et cetera. So, but we did have somebody go through every one of the transactions. So we had hoped that $150,000 that we spent was really getting us back to day one, getting us started even. Now I'm wondering if there's a problem again. I just don't know that. I do know that Commissioner Stopers indicated that he would really like to see hiring of some financial expert, using a term here, something similar to that, that would assist the auditor in the treasurer's office. Now, the problem with that would be that because you have to have a separation of duties, you couldn't have one person who was going to assist both the auditor and treasurer because it wouldn't keep that balance.
Why do we need an assistant for the auditor and the treasurer?
Well, because it appears that there continues to be problems. I, from what I gathered from what he was saying, he felt like we needed to have some assistance.
Who's going to pay for this?
Well, of course the taxpayers would pay for it.
Okay.
So,
just making sure.
But it will be interesting.
So let me just get this right. The people that we elect and have put in office are not capable of doing their job by state laws, state statutes. They cannot keep up to the level of the work that they say they could.
So are you
Is
guys
that accurate?
Are you guys going to cut their budgets to pay for this so that they can? I mean, you know, it sounds to me like if you're going to bring experts in for the auditor's office and an expert in for the treasurer's office, shouldn't you cut their budgets accordingly so that they can pay for that?
One would think that adjustments would have to be made, but let's be very clear. In order for someone to be hired for the auditor's office, then the auditor would have to include that in that budget and request it. And the treasurer would have to do the same. This was something that appeared to be a possible recommendation coming from the commissioners. But
Marty,
this is to be very clear. The commissioners cannot run the treasurer's office
or
the auditor's
office. They can suggest all they want.
Right.
So, in other words, you can't have somebody whose job it is to give oversight to either one of those offices without those particular office holders' approval?
Well, they could look at it all they wanted, but because the way the law is written and both the auditor and the treasurer have state statutory duties, you cannot override those duties. We cannot go in and try to tell them how to run their office. Now, as far as the county council, we have authority to put in place employees that they request and vote on their budgets. We can't force an employee upon them. So I have not spoken with the auditor or the treasurer to see what their thoughts would be on this. I think it would be very interesting to see, is this something they would like? Would they look forward to assistance? Or is this something that that they were not aware of. So that is a part of, I mean, I didn't know this was even going to be said at the meeting last night, so we'll see what the result is going to be.
So basically the result will be if they don't say anything, nothing can happen because there's you can suggest and suggest and suggest, but if they don't take the suggestion, nothing can happen.
That's correct.
Okay.
Because they run their own office.
Gotcha.
And remember, we're ran so much different than the city. In the city, the mayor is in charge. In the county, we have separately elected officials, and they are in charge of their own department. And not one department can tell the other department what to do. And county commissioners, they're a separate department. And they do have oversight of buildings and grounds and that sort of thing, but they do not have oversight of being able to control the number of employees in those elected officials' offices.
Marty Hawk's our guest this morning. The county councilwoman checks in every Wednesday morning. Do you have any hope of getting some of those book balancing costs back?
Well, I don't know whether this was just some kind of political move, or whether there really was a thought we'd get some of this money back. But of course, it would be great if we could get it back.
Bonded. They're both bonded. So, what does how is the bonding set up? I thought that the bonding was only available to be paid back if they did something illegal.
Well, and I'm not an expert, legal expert, but that was my thought as well.
Okay.
I think that because you didn't do the job correctly, intent to misuse funds or something. So we'll just find out what it is. I do know that this was a decision that they made in their work session. They took a voice vote in the work session. Once again, we're not having those work sessions covered, and that's just too bad. We need to have CATS TV with the camera rolling so the public has an opportunity to see what is going on in the county commissioners' meetings, and so that, after all, the money they're talking about is the public's money. But speaking of the public's money, the county commissioners had a vote on that solid waste district issue, and I know you had suggested you might have an interest in hearing about that, Glass.
Murph.
Not just right. Him. I want to hear about it, too, because it just seems like it's the big black hole of money.
Well, right. I knew you would be interested, Margaret, but I heard Glass talking about it then.
Yes, yesterday with Keith.
Right. I could tell you this part. One of the things at their meeting where they decided to move forward to include in their budget these roll-off trucks and the trucks with the roll-off bins and so forth, part of the reason that was being presented was, well, look at the carbon footprint of driving all the way to the one landfill when we could go to a closer landfill. So then we find out, we get the report back from the solid waste office that, no, it's going to be a lot worse for us to do ours. The carbon footprint will be a great deal higher because there would have to be loads would not be as large as what it looks like it's suggesting here. So it would be a negative impact on the carbon footprint.
So let's get a $100,000 study to figure out who's right, right?
How many studies do we have to have? I mean, we've had several studies, it seems to me. Either that or we're just talking about it.
Are we going to have a study and buy a study until we get the answer we want to hear?
Your kids ask you for the same thing over and over again until you finally get worn out. It seems to me that's a lot of what's going on here, because we've been told before that we're just not large enough to make this a break-even situation.
Let me ask a dumb question. What's wrong with the system we have right now? Is it not doing good enough?
They don't feel like they're useful anymore, Glass, because the landfill's shut down. That's the only thing I can figure.
We still have to maintain the landfill.
But the Solid Waste District, as far as I can figure out, that board is feeling like they aren't doing enough so that they want to have this whole project to do.
Well, remember that this vote was a 4-3 vote, and I was really shocked because when I was listening to the meeting, I was sort of counting the votes. You know, you can kind of see where people are coming from. And at the last minute, Iris Kiesling voted on this budget, which I'm not sure she would not. She's not been in favor of this. And
she's getting pressured.
Both she and Pat Stoffers have not been in favor of this in the past. And so, and the representative from Ellisville was not in favor of this. But at the last minute, Iris voted in favor of it. So, but maybe there will be enough information coming out that Iris will change her mind. And remember, the bottom line is it will be what the county council decides.
Well, that's you.
Yeah, right. That's why we're talking about
exactly.
It. Exactly. And what the district manager was saying was we have no place to store these trucks. What they've voted was to go ahead and put in place the opportunity to buy trucks in their own roll-off bins and whatever. And he's saying, we have no place to put it.
Or store them or maintain them or drive them.
No, you're right. And so
wait a minute. We have a building that's sitting in pieces over there somewhere.
Right, right. But what he's saying is that it's operationally, it makes no sense to try to store those roll-off bins out at where the landfill is so that the truck drivers would have to go out there, pick them up. I'm just visualizing here how that would work. Then take it to the different sites and switch off.
Well, that's bad for your carbon footprint, it sounds like.
And there's no place to store them at the different sites. So this is none of it is making any sense to me.
Well, who's going to drive them? Who's going to pay for the drivers?
That's why
who's
going to
pay for the benefits?
No,
who's going to pay for all that
stuff? That's why we're going to pay some consultant $100,000 so they can work out all these details, because none of it makes any sense. So supposedly when they get done, $100,000 will have this all make sense to somebody.
Well, and I was in the meeting, it sounded as if there was no clear idea about what was going to happen about hauling off the glass, because the roll-off company that we contract with was in some cases storing some of the glass before they took it to where there was a better market for it. But that doesn't mean that if we're not contracting with them to do this, why would they take our glass if we're not going to do the rest of it with them? So
we could put that in the city's recycling center. Well, I'm sorry. This is just also beyond stupid, Marty. I mean, I hope that the listeners are hearing this and understanding how none of this. I mean, you look at all the different pieces and parts to this, and it's like, you know, you add up a bunch of numbers and you're coming up with the wrong answer every single time.
Well, and it may be that for some reason I'm not understanding the answer at all. So I'm not, if there's more to the story, I'm happy to listen to it. I do listen to the meetings, and it sounded to me as if it was just Steve Bowen was sort of saying, like, well, I don't want to be told by this other company how we have to operate. I want to be more in charge of what we do. Well, that's all well and good, but he's not footing the bill. Everybody in the county is. And we have a huge number of families in this county that pay for private trash hauling. Now, in addition to this, if they continue to raise the cost for these recycling centers, you know, we're all paying for that as well. So it needs to be done in a cost-efficient manner and still meet their mission. And that's what I would like to see.
Marty Hawk's our guest this morning. The county councilwoman checks in every Wednesday morning to keep an eye on what's happening with our tax dollars. And before we let you go, Marty, again, in the paper today talking about the – let me make sure I get this right because we've had plenty of things to do today. It's the fire districts. That's the township fire departments. How does all that money work out? And there's more money than we thought?
Right. I think we've discussed this in the past, when they – put in place this the 0.25% tax, and remember, the state hasn't approved it. As a matter of fact, we're getting all kinds of information verbally from them that's saying, no, you're going to have to re-vote on this and change how this is. So we're still waiting for something in writing from them that says go or not go. But the way it is, that 0.25% brought in a great deal more money than what was originally projected. And my concern is that it was originally written that 30% off the top would go to central dispatch. Well, that suddenly then makes that a great deal more money, considering you add on there that 911 tax that they will also get, that I believe is about $700,000. That is more money than they had requested. So I think we need to take a look at, do they need the kind, 30% is more money than what they had requested or said they needed. But in addition to which, at one of the last meetings, the city controller made it pretty clear, it sounded to me, that he was saying he didn't know why we would give any money whatsoever, award any money to all these fire departments throughout the county, he was not in favor of that. Well, if we don't provide some assistance for the fire departments throughout the county, then there was a big push from those folks supporting this. So I was very disappointed to hear that the city representative is saying, no, let's just keep it for ourselves. So,
Marty, didn't I say to you back when we were talking about this money how it was going to get divided up, and because the city got to choose that something like this could happen?
Specifically said this. The city will be in charge of this from the get-go because they have controlling vote.
And they're saying that the out in the outlier districts, because they aren't in the city, that all of a sudden that they don't have any needs. I mean, our outlying fire departments have dealt with the smallest, teeniest, tiniest budgets ever.
Well, and remember, I'm not saying that that's what the city council is saying, but certainly their city controller he was quoted as having said that. I was very disappointed to see that. So I'm hoping that the city council will understand that everybody in the entire county pays into this income tax, whether you live in Steinsville or Harrodsburg or Unionville or out at the lake. You're all paying income tax.
See, this is why they should not have this divided. This should not be decided by whoever's the biggest area. I'm sorry. This should be parceled out, and the people in charge of those areas should be the ones who decide where this money goes. This is exactly what I was afraid was going to happen with this particular tax. And
well,
on top of it, they're acting like they don't even, that it's perfectly fine if 30% of it, even if it's twice as much money gets collected, that goes to the dispatch center, which is absurd.
Well, that's part of, I was speaking with others on the county council last evening about how the language could be changed on the new legislation that if we do vote on another ordinance, so that we tie it more for the central dispatch, we tie it more to their budgetary needs and not just say 30% off at the top, because that money, that dollar amount could really grow far more than what would need, and they'd be swimming with the money, and we'd have fire departments out here who couldn't even keep the doors open. Some of those folks that they're trying to work with volunteers, and maybe no one to man the station. And so, I mean, that's the way the Steinsville Fire Department the Bean Blossom Fire Department. They've got volunteers. There's not someone there 24/7.
Well, just don't have any fires.
Yeah,
and, yeah,
right. Exactly.
That would be very helpful.
Only you can prevent forest fires and other fires in that.
Well, and the other thing, just as a quick update, and I know you have to go, but the concern I shared with you folks that because of the report that we got back from the state making it look like as if our original Bee Blossom School might lose about $600,000,
right,
and the town of Bellisville almost $300,000, and it was all tied back to what it appeared was additional debt or some sort of action taken by the school. I have been in touch with them, and they're having a meeting this morning with DLGF, the Department of Local Government Finance. They believe that maybe the state is picking up a debt that is to be paid off this year. It won't be in place for next year, so we're hoping all of that will work out without the kind of consequence that the state had originally sent to us. And along those lines, I also want to wish Dr. Wilcox the very best. He has been in the hospital. He had a heart attack. He is recuperating.
Oh, my.
And
I wondered
why he wasn't calling me back, and now I know. But they expect him to be back up and at him, you know, with those stents. That we are so lucky that the miracle of these stents are in place to extend people's lives, and he's a young, healthy man. Let's keep him that way.
Absolutely. So, and with school opening last week, gee whiz, that's a tough time. So all the thoughts and prayers to Dr. Mike Wilcox. Hopefully he feels better. We'll talk to him in a couple weeks here on the telephone and get an update on his condition. But thanks for the update on that, Marty. We appreciate
it. Right, and I'm not breaking the news without other people already being aware of it.
Sure.
That would be possible.
Sure. That's why we have you on, and you're a trusted voice in the community. And we, as always, thank you for your time. We'll do it next Wednesday.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you.
County Councilwoman Marty Hawk checks in with us every Wednesday morning just after 8:05.